クレートカーユナイテッドエンパイア。今日は試合があった。そして彼がエンパイアの応援してくれるんですよ。みんなロッキーテーブルポッドキャストよろしく。
To Rome's thing. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Broken Tables podcast. I am your host, Jeffrey Vegas, here as always with our co-host, King Rome. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty great.
Excellent, excellent. All right, welcome everybody to the podcast. This is episode number 73. We are here tonight with our AEW Dynamite review, and I thought this was a absolutely fantastic Dynamite again, 2 weeks in a row. I think Tony put on an absolute banger. We started off with Moxley, we ended with Danielson versus Jericho. You know what I mean? Like, that was such a good way to open and close this entire show. I thought from open to close we had A+, man. What did you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. There was a lot of really great stuff on this show, some fresh matchups, setting up for Grand Slam next week, and yeah, I had a blast all the way through.
Nice. Yeah, me too. So let's see who's in the chat here. We got Joseph Juhas. Welcome, sir. So welcome, everybody. And let's go ahead and get started here. We started off with Jon Moxley versus Sammy Guevara right off the bat. This was nice. I really like when they start off the episodes of Rampage just right away with a match, you know, so I actually really enjoyed this one here. We did get entrances, though. It wasn't like Rampage where there were no entrances. There was an entrance for Moxley and for Sammy Guevara. Sammy did not come out with Ty Conti. I was very shocked to see that. I was definitely expecting Ty Conti to come out with him. Were you?
A little bit, but I think it's explained later on in the match.
Absolutely. You're completely right there.
Yeah.
So huge pop for Moxley, man. This dude, somebody pointed it out on Twitter that every time AEW has needed a hero, man, Moxley's been the guy to step up, you know. He was supposed to go on a 6-week vacation, apparently, we're hearing. And, you know, he stepped up to be in this tournament here and to cut a couple of those promos. The one that I said was his best promo of all time. You know, so cahoots to him or whatever you want to say. Congrats to him, man, for being like the hero of AEW. So I love it.
Yeah, he's definitely doing everything, you know, he's being there for the company when they really need him. I mean, the company has shown a lot of perseverance the last few weeks. I mean, again, like we talked about it last week, we're talking about it again tonight. It was just a great episode of Dynamite. It doesn't really seem to matter that CM Punk and the Bucks and Kenny aren't there. It just doesn't, like, this show was excellent without them, and yeah, there's plenty of great star power there. You know, and Meduja in the chat, like, really, I'm vibing with what he's saying right now. He's talking Absolutely. About how, like, the show and Twitter are just so polar opposites. And I'm not gonna lie, like, I've been off of, I mean, like, I'm keeping up with social media for the sake of news, but, like, I've been kind of stepping back because it's just the negativity is too much. And there's so much reporting going on that's, like, you know, like, a lot of it tends to be fake and not true, and it's just depressing. Like, it's really awful. And then you go and watch these shows, and you're like, I'm having a great time watching these shows. Like, Dynamite the past 2 weeks have been fucking phenomenal, and it's just excellent, man. And like you said, it opened up with Mox and Sammy. And I thought this was a really excellent match, man. Again, a whole night full of great matches.
Yeah, and I think Miyagi hit it right on the head there. You know, Dynamite cheered me up after so much negativity on Twitter. I'm with you, man. I was pretty much staying off. I was going on there, but only to post my stuff. I was definitely not scrolling like I usually do. And, you know, it's just been, you know, one of those downer couple of weeks. You know, it is what it is. But yeah, this was a great match. Sammy hit a really, really cool Spanish fly when Moxley was about to hit him with a lariat. And I think I just accidentally called Sammy a nickname we might want to give him. I called him Spammy there for a second. He does like to spam moves. But this was a great match. I actually enjoy Sammy in this match. I think this went about 15 minutes. This was great. Obviously, yeah. John Moxley picks up the win here after reversing the go to hell into the, you know, paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. This was great.
Yeah, I really love this match. I love the story that this match told about how Sammy needed to not let it become a brawl, which eventually it evolves into, which became Mox's game, which leads up to Mox getting the win. I thought that was really smartly done. I thought Sammy had some good heat tonight. I would not have classified it as go away heat. So he was getting some great heat too. Like you said, the match ends. Ty Mello and Anna Jay come out for the interference. Ty low blows Mox. It's not enough. Mox kicks out of the pin, hits the Death Rider. The crowd blew up when this match ended. I thought it was kind of an interesting crowd because throughout the night, the crowd wasn't dead necessarily, but like they were waiting for the spots where they needed to blow up, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was a really odd crowd because like they were there and
they
like,
were waiting for MJF.
It wasn't just MJF. Like you could see throughout the night, and we'll like I'll address it as we go, but there are times in this show where the crowd just flips the fuck out.
Yeah.
And they become a hot crowd. Like it's almost like they were just kind of like they wanted to watch the wrestling. And then when it was time to get on their feet, they were ready for it, which is interesting.
Yeah, I thought their crowd was pretty decent here tonight, but I do agree with you that they were louder for the moments that they felt needed it more. You know what I mean? But
yeah, definitely. I think, though, that Sammy did some great work tonight. Like I said, Mox, generational as always. I would also like to start a petition to get William Regal on commentary full time.
Yeah.
Because I need that. It's just another week of good commentary work by Regal. And then also towards the end of the match, we got a little bit of news for the folks in the Pacific Northwest. AEW will be making its debut in the Pacific Northwest next year in Seattle, Washington for a live Dynamite on January 4th, 2023.
Okay. Nice. Nice. That's the city that me and Purple technically got married in. Like, even though we got married on a cruise to Alaska, we had to have like a city that we departed from. So it was Seattle.
Gotcha.
So. All right. So after the match, Excalibur informs us right before the commercial that MJF was demanding the microphone. So we come back from a commercial. MJF's music hits. He immediately is yelling, "Cut my music!" And he comes out guns blazing on this crowd. He tried as hard as he could to get this crowd to boo him. They were having none of it, and they gave him the loudest pops of the night. And it was one of the funniest, like you said, this crowd was weird. So he insulted the crowd multiple times, like with specific things like these guys are absolute morons and scumbags. And they were like, yeah, they were like cheering it. I thought it was one of the funniest things. It was one of my favorite crowd interactions of the year so far. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's nothing against MJF, but they have to be kind of careful here. MJF's really over right now.
Yeah.
And like I know that they say any reaction is what you want, and that's still true, but I mean you're trying to make MJF your biggest heel, like one of the biggest heels like of all time. You could just tell it based in the contents of his promos since he's come back. And just the fans are not having it. They want to cheer for MJF. They want him to be, you know, I don't even know if it's the babyface. I mean, I guess it is. They want to cheer for him. They really like him and they want to like him. And that's not what they're going for, which again, up to your interpretation, if you view that as good or bad.
I definitely see it as being good, and I don't think MJF has to change his character at all. I think the fans are perfectly fine with him being just like this, and they're going to cheer it. You know what I mean? Like, I think we've gotten to the point as wrestling fans where, you know, when someone like MJF says that to them, they're kind of just like, yeah, you know, they just embrace it rather than boo like back in the 90s. But I think it's good. I think it was great. I didn't think it was a bad thing at all that he couldn't get them to boo him, but we'll see where it leads in the future. You could be right, or, you know, I think it just leads to a great character.
Yeah, again, I don't know if I necessarily think it's a good thing or a bad thing. It was just an observation that I made, that MJF really was doing very good work tonight to get people to boo him, and it didn't work. It's not that the promo was bad. It's not that the work was bad. It's not that it's MJF's fault. People just really like MJF, so I don't know exactly how well that's going to go in moments where you want him to be booed out of the building.
Yeah.
I just don't know how that's going to go, so it's something to keep in mind of. But no, this was an excellent promo from MJF. He comes out, he's pissed, he's pissed that Mox isn't afraid of him. He talks about how he's not the same kid that faced Mox during the pandemic when they did the whole, the campaign election thing. MJF was playing around, now he's serious. He says that Moxley is just a character, and he talks about like how Mox was probably bullied and stuff like that growing up, and then MJF goes and proceeds to bully the cameraman, and he tells the cameraman to stand in the corner, which I thought was really interesting, because it's a very unique camera angle that not a lot of the wrestlers do, but MJF does, and that's kind of becoming a staple for him. This kind of corner, stand in the corner camera shot, which it's not like a new thing, but like all of his promos are filmed that way, I've noticed. And I just think that's really nice. I also just love the delivery of MJF. Something about just the way he kind of stares into, like, at you, the viewer at home. It's just,
oh, it's great. It's great. He's one of the best in the business.
Looking at
the
camera the entire time. Eyes fixated on the camera lens, and just it's excellent.
100%. All right, so MJF introduces his new stable, Stokely Hathaway and the Firm. I like the name. Oh, go ahead.
So I want to correct you here, because I picked up on context clues. This is not MJF's new stable. So what the Firm is, I don't want to step on you, but I kind of wanted to point this out before you went too far into it, because they say
I thought he actually said that. I don't know if he said my stable, but I do believe he said the stable.
No, so he said that the Firm is a faction on, what was it? Oh, I'm looking through my notes. I wrote it down.
You're talking about what Stokely said. So MJF said, I'm going to introduce you to the faction that, of the guys who helped me, who handed me the chip. He said, Stokely Hathaway and the Firm. And then they came out, and then he left the ring immediately. And then Stokely explained what they were, right?
Yeah, okay, so I found it. So they referred to the Firm as a stable on retainer. So, like, the way I interpret it, especially when you have MJF leave the ring, this is not an MJF faction. MJF is best friends with Stokely, and MJF will use the Firm.
I agree.
It seems to me like the Firm is kind of more so like Stokely's group, and when Stokely needs to use them, he will. But Stokely even makes it clear in the promo, he said, this will probably be one of the last times you actually see us all in the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of the Firm, and it was a really interesting take on this, the whole point of the Firm is every single person and the gun club, every single unit in the faction, they have their own goals and like, you know, their own reason for doing things and what they want, their goals and whatnot. And it's just like, okay, well, we're a group and we're going to come together and help each other. But at the same time, you know, we all have things we want to do. Like Ethan Page wants to chase the All Atlantic title. So Ethan Page is going to go do that. And, you know, you might not see him every week with the gun club. That doesn't mean that they're not a group. They're going to be brought in kind of like an Avengers kind of thing, almost, where it's like, hey, when we need everyone, we'll call you guys. Like, that was the way I looked at it, with kind of Stokely being like kind of like their manager for each of them. And I thought it was like a really interesting concept for a group.
Yeah. And you know what it felt like to me is it felt like, so in the future, when we see these guys split up the way he was talking about, we're not going to be wondering like, hey, where's the rest of the group at? Like, why are these guys by themselves? You know, so they answered those questions right away. So I think that's what that was. That was like a preemptive strike of like answering all of these questions that we might have over the next couple of weeks. I think they just answered them for us right away. So yeah, I liked it.
We'll have to see how it goes. Again, I could be wrong about this, and maybe we see the firm with MJF every single week. But the way I interpreted this whole segment, especially again with MJF leaving the ring and like letting them do their thing, like that was just, it just seemed like that.
Yeah.
But so Stokely, he explained that everything that he's done in AEW up to this point, he was being a fraud. He was lying. He was trying to learn things like it was all a sham. And then he's like, this is who I am. I'm not a manager. I'm not a broker. I'm not like any of this shit. I'm just here. I'm a friend.
I thought he was about to say I'm a wrestler again or something. I was like, whoa, where is he going with this? But you know, he just kind of, he's like, I'm not anything. Don't label me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I like how he was talking about how like he's picked up a lot of blackmail, and that blackmail turns him on.
He used like a bunch of words that had the word black in them. Like it was kind of cool the way he was doing that. I don't know if that was like a poetry type thing, but he kept using different like words that had the word black in them. It was cool.
Possibly. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with this faction, with the firm. I'm excited for it. I thought it was a great segment. It kind of it showed everyone's motives, including Morrissey, where he's like, I love you, big guy. And Morrissey's just staring blankly. He's like, I don't know if you heard me, but I love you. He's like, yeah, I know. I know, I'm trying to be
dude,
tough.
When he hugged him, I lost it. I was laughing so hard when he was hugging him. Stokely was like, I love you. And he just kind of wrapped him up and hugged him. And Morrissey just stood there like, okay.
Yeah.
But Ethan Page, man, what do you think about him making this the All-Canadian Championship?
Well, I mean, the Canadian flag is one of the flags on the All-Atlantic Championship.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to Canada in October.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they want to do with that.
Let's do it.
It's cool to get the All-Atlantic again on TV. I mean, Pac was defending it, abroad when he was home, and now he's touring with AEW again. He's defending it in AEW. And I mean, I think that's kind of one of the big things that with the All-Atlantic Championship, where I feel like they're just going to keep having guys who do live or at least can travel or will travel. But I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next up was a quick Jungle Boy Jack Perry video promo, basically saying, you know, he's got an open challenge going out there. And then immediately we get a video package with Sanjay Dutt and Jay Lethal accepting the challenge. And then the match happened right away. I was kind of like, whoa, that happened fast. But yeah, so yeah, we get Jungle Boy versus Jay Lethal. This went about 12 minutes. I thought this was a really good, you know, like technical wrestling match here. This was awesome.
Yeah. So Tony Khan did something a little different today. Throughout the day, more so the afternoon leading up to the show, he actually had little promos go out on their socials. So the Jungle Boy promo happened probably around like 3-ish, 2-ish today.
Okay.
And like, so the Jungle Boy promo that you saw was the first thing that got posted, where he kind of arrived at the arena and issued the open challenge, saying he has to get back to work and get ready to face Luchasaurus. The Jay Lethal response was posted like an hour and a half, 2 hours later, more around like 5 or 6-ish.
Okay.
So like on TV, it looked like it was like bam, 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 but it was more like Jungle Boy showed up, issued an open challenge. Jay Lethal, you'd have to assume he heard of this open challenge 2 hours later and was like, well, I'm going to take him up on this then.
That makes sense.
That's how the match came to be.
I did see Tony Khan's tweet saying, watch for some promos from the wrestlers. And then, okay, I remember seeing that actually. All right.
Yeah. And then, you know, what led to it was a really great match. And so there was a few things tonight, and Tony Khan was kind of, like you said, teasing it a lot, where like Tony Khan sometimes books these matches that are just great wrestling matches, and there's not necessarily really any build to them. But like tonight and today in general, he kind of did quick builds for these things. Like, okay, so he did Jack Perry versus Jay Lethal. They shot videos for it, which led to it. It wasn't just a simple, like, well, Jack Perry needs to get in shape, so let's have him, he's going to be in action against Jay Lethal. Like, no, they gave a challenge, a response to the challenge, and, you know, they kept going. This Friday on Rampage, they have two matches scheduled for Rampage that seem like just wrestling matches to fill the wrestling show. And both of those matches had segments tonight, which we'll get to, that led to these random matches. And I just thought that was really cool. I thought it's great to do a little bit of a build leading to these matches.
Yeah, I agree. That's cool. So in this match here, Jungle Boy attempted the kill switch. I was really surprised when I saw him attempt the kill switch there. You know, it was almost like he was getting desperate. You know what I mean? And he tried using a move that Christian taught him, which was a little interesting. Because it didn't really come across as if he was trying to do it to spite Christian. You know what I mean? It came across like he was losing and he was trying to use it to finish this, you know, to finish it off, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, so that was interesting. Maybe they'll play a little bit more into the emotions with that stuff, but we shall see. Jungle Boy gets the submission with the snare trap. Jay Lethal taps out, and Jungle Boy looks strong here. You know, Juha said it in Discord, and I was thinking along the same lines. I was actually expecting a Lethal win here just so that we could get Jungle Boy kind of being like, you know, damn it, how am I supposed to beat Christian when he comes back if I'm losing to Lethal? And maybe build him up a little bit, but I guess they're just going to keep building him up from here, you know. Not a big deal. Yeah,
I think picking up the wins is a good way to build him up. I mean, again, he hasn't really wrestled much since, like, June.
True.
Jungle Boy. Like, he hasn't wrestled. This is his first match, his first real match since June. So I like the idea that he's like, I need to go after Luchasaurus. My best friend turned on me. I need to get back into ring shape to be able to take out what's going to be my greatest adversary to date. So I think him picking up the wins is definitely a smart way to do that. But yeah, this was a great match. I'm just a huge fan of Jack Perry's in-ring work. Like, I know he's getting better with promos, but like, this guy is so good in the ring. He's just legit. And I really appreciate how much he sold his back injury too from All Out.
You know, and it's funny that all they have to do to sell it to us is put some of that tape on there, you know, that new sticky tape that athletes wear. You slap that anywhere on someone's body and we're like, oh, they got an injury right there. It's a cool little mind trick that they do with us in AEW, and they do it a lot. You know, I like it.
Oh, yeah, well, they do those types of things all the time. There's another one later tonight in the main event that fucking had me on the floor.
Oh, so yeah, we'll for sure, dude, them. Me too. All right, next up was a really, really, really good video package of Hook training with Action Bronson. Now, I'm not sure if you love this as much as I did, but I want more videos like this of, like, training montages. This was freaking awesome. We even got Hook to speak at the end of this. He was like, next week, be ready. You know what I mean? Like, I loved this. This was 10 out of 10 sports entertainment for me right here.
Yeah, man, this was it was a really cool video package. I really enjoyed it. I'm excited for Grand Slam next week. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know Action Bronson had a tattoo on the top of his bald head, but ow, that had to not feel good at all. next up, we got, I don't even know who this dude was, but they were introducing some official Pizzanato fashion guy of wrestling.
Wait a second. You don't know who Luigi Primo is?
Luigi Primo, you're going to have to explain this one to me.
All right. So here's the thing. King's Court, please. Sorry, my microphone is stuck.
Oh, you're good.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing excellent, sir.
So are you aware of the internet, Jeff?
I am. I could Google him, yeah.
Juha saying, fucking Jeff, who are you? So, Jeff, Luigi Primo is a man, a wrestler, who went viral on the internet over the last few weeks. There is a video, and you've probably seen the video, you just don't know who the fuck he is.
but you should know just by looking at him. So there was a video that circulated, I think it was originally on Reddit, and it's like, it's one of those, if wrestling's fake, explain this. And basically, Luigi Primo wrestles his entire match while tossing the dough to make a pizza. And he's like doing this guy's working this match, and he's like, Juhas, if you could send this to Jeff, please. I'm currently
please
doing
do.
A
I
show.
I didn't hear or see this at all.
So this is hilarious, and I didn't know what the guy's name was, but it as soon as I saw him, I recognized him from the video, and I literally like jumped out of my seat. I was like, "It's the pizza guy," and they're like, "It's Luigi Primo," and I was like, "That's your name? Okay, yeah, it's Luigi Primo." I saw on Twitter that Luigi Primo is wrestling Charlie Haas at an event coming up, which is cool. But so this segment was just so funny. So they have Luigi Primo show up because, of course, Alex Marvez is talking about, oh, we're going to be in New York next week. Like, we'll talk, you know, New York is all about pizza. And talking about pizza, here we have Luigi fucking Primo. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's the guy from the viral video. Just incredible. Like, my hat is off to Tony Khan for being like, you know what? We're going to fucking call Luigi Primo. I'm guessing he's from Albany. I'm going to assume he is.
Okay.
But I don't know that, but regardless, it was hilarious. Ethan Page comes in big boots and just fucking decks the dude, kicks him, knocks him out. And he's talking about, like, I'm tired of wrestling not being serious. Sound like a real Jeff guy. He's like, oh, these Orange Cassidy's, I can't stand them. Like, Ethan Page just fucking lays him out. I love the way he falls, too. Go back and watch this clip of Luigi Primo getting kicked in the face.
Yeah.
He's just like,
put it on my Facebook. Yeah, the last social media thing that I ever use. Okay, I'll have to open that, and blow the dust off.
Again, I love that. And then Marvez is like, "What are you doing?" And then Danhausen comes out of nowhere, and he's like, "I think he called Ethan Page like Egon or something like that." And at one point, Ethan Page looks like he just wanted to start cracking up to Danhausen because Danhausen's also fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
this was such a fun segment. I was so entertained by this fucking segment. I was dying.
Yeah, and you know, something dawned on me during this little promo here. So have you noticed how all the vlogs seem to have Danhausen on them, and they're all of these guys that are interacting with him on TV have been interacting with him in their vlogs and stuff like that? I think this was all done on purpose so that they never laugh at him on screen. Because if you don't have very much interaction with Danhausen, he's going to crack you. I've seen him do it to some of the best of them behind the scenes, you know what I mean? So I think that they were purposely hanging out with him so that they avoid the whole, you know, cracking up while he's on screen thing. I'm just something I kind of noticed tonight, like, because Danhausen was trying and Ethan was fighting it, so.
Yeah, man. But it was that, what a hilarious segment. And this ends up setting up for a match on Rampage. Again, we have these little segments to kind of set these things up, and it's just Ethan Page saying, you know, he's going to start with the Jester of AEW. And I think Danhausen didn't quite catch it, that like, he was the Jester. So he's like, yes, we will get this Jester, or something like that. It was just thumbs up. Big thumbs
up.
All right.
Next up, we got a pretty cool video with Darby Allin joining the Nitro Circus. Darby was riding some sort of little adult tricycle down a gigantic ramp, and he was trying to hit a jump, but he kind of like spun out at the top of the jump and wound up smashing into the wall and smashing into the ground. He hops up, he's fine, you know, but I think he's trying to become like a
second time. He does do it the second time.
Was that him the second time? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it was. No, he ends up doing it the second time.
Okay. And then he was like, that was freaking terrifying. Yeah, I don't even know if I would have been able to get to the top of the ramp.
It's crazy. That's not even Darby's like biggest stunt like this month. So it's like, okay.
You know, it's wild watching those guys go to the top of that ramp, like on the X Games and stuff, man. Like, I want to say it's not like I have a fear of heights, but I have a fear of heights. Dude, I couldn't even get halfway up the stairs. I would be like, nope, that's it. I would like clench the freaking railing and start walking down backwards, man. It'd be rough.
But so Matt Hardy, after the video package, Matt Hardy compliments Darby and talking about really kind of like, Darby, you're kind of everything. Like, he didn't say this, but he's like, you're kind of everything that Jeff Hardy should be.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. That's a great fucking compliment. They do. Matt Hardy challenges Darby. He said on Friday on Rampage, like, let's do it, man. Like, I'm trying to reestablish myself here, and you know, we've been friends before, we've been enemies before. Like, let's go again. Which sets up for a match on Rampage.
Yeah, absolutely. Trav says Paige and Danhausen have been friends for a long time from wrestling on the independents. Yeah, okay. Next up, we got Powerhouse Will Hobbs versus Matt DiMartino in about a 30-second match. I don't even know if it was much longer than that, maybe a minute.
I think Tony Khan did a great job finding the absolute skinniest local wrestler that he could find. Like, this dude was a twig.
Dude, he looked like me when I was about 17, maybe like 16. I was like, oh my God, this guy's going to die. So yeah, this was your classic big man squash match. I think he just, I don't even remember. I think he slapped him once, threw him into the ropes, hit him with the spine to the pine, spine buster, and that was it. 1, 2, 3. We got Ricky Starks coming down from the crowd. He came down very nonchalantly, just kind of walked down the stairs, came straight through, walked over, and the way that he sidestepped the security guards was great. There was like two security guards in front of him, and he was just kind of nonchalantly like walking towards them, and then he did like a running back, like woof woof sidestep thing, and just blitzed right past him. He actually got the upper hand on Hobbs there, got a couple of shots in on him, threw Hobbs into the ropes, and then smashed him with the microphone. Hobbs backed off. Hobbs still looked strong here because the microphone thing didn't really knock him out or anything, just kind of knocked him out of the ring, and then he was all angry. But this was great. So, you know, Hobbs looked great with his squash match, and then Ricky looked good getting the upper hand here. Can't wait to see round two for these guys.
Yeah, so it's really funny because I know Coach usually listens to us not live on Wednesdays because he's watching Dynamite on the West Coast.
Yep.
But I feel like this promo probably would have, like, at first it probably got a lot of heat from him because, like, Hobbs demands the mic, grabs it, talks about how, like, yeah, I've known Ricky for a few years now. He's so tough. He's so great. But I beat him in 4 minutes and 55 seconds. Not that anybody's counting. At which case, again, like you said, Ricky shows up. And, like, this is how you can tell that someone is a star. Like, so when Ricky's walking down the steps, like, they go back to the hard cam. And, like, you see the crowd. As soon as they realize that Ricky's there, they fucking blow up on the hard cam, and it's such a great shot. Like, the dude's a star. He's a mega star.
Oh, absolutely. Like, when he was walking down the steps, there were people scrambling to get their phones out to, like, get a picture of him as he was walking by. It was great.
Yeah, they were the We Want Ricky chants before he came out. But so I thought that Ricky was going to cut a promo, but no, he just, like you said, he sidesteps the security guards, gets in the ring, and just starts fighting.
Yeah, man, and real quick, right where Ricky came out, when he got to the bottom of those stairs, that is exactly where we will be sitting, is right on that corner. So if he had came out in Philly like that, he would have been right there next to us. So I can't wait for that. Man, that's going to be sweet.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right, next up was a Death Triangle promo on challenging the Lucha Brothers. I'm sorry, the Lucha Brothers are challenging Swerve and Our Glory for the tag championships tonight. Was this another one of the videos that happened earlier today? I was assuming so.
Yeah, that promo came out probably around 4. I should start, if they start doing this, maybe I'll start time stamping these for the show. But yeah, so basically they did a promo where, again, you saw this kind of weird cohesion or lack thereof between, like, actually it seems more like Pac and Abrahantes. Okay. Where it's like Pac is talking to them about how he's giving them this opportunity, and then Abrahantes just kind of, like, interrupts Pac, saying, like, we got it, boys, we got the shot. And, like, I don't know, maybe I look at the little things, because AEW, you know, cherishes the little things, and they make you, like, really have to look for these things. But I do wonder, maybe it won't be, like, Pac and the Lucha Bros that have the issue. Maybe Abrahantes ends up being this issue with Pac. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But, I mean, remember last week, they kind of, Pac cut Abrahantes off, and now here we are the next week, Abrahantes cut Pac off. So, it's just something to note as we move forward.
Yeah, definitely. So immediately we get this match here. We got Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland versus the Lucha Brothers in a freaking fantastic match. I think this only went about 10 minutes, but it was still really, really good. They all got their stuff in. At one point, man, outside the ring, Fenix jumped over the ropes and Keith Lee catches him and then picks him up over his head and throws him like a javelin through the ropes to break up a pin. That was one of the coolest and craziest things I have ever seen in a wrestling match. The strength that it takes to throw another man like a freaking lawn dart is insane.
I'll do you one better.
Go for it.
They fucking hit this man, Keith Lee, with a fucking destroyer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I lost my mind. When Penta hits Keith Lee with that fucking destroyer.
Yep.
That's my spot of the match. Like, absolutely. Like, we really got this match on free TV. Like, we really did. This is one of those matches where it's like, this was a banger. It was just really fucking awesome.
Yeah, this needs to actually have a rematch. So here's my plan for the tag team division here. I want the Acclaimed, obviously, to win at Grand Slam. And then I want Lucha Brothers versus Swerve in Our Glory rematch for the number one contendership. You know what I mean? I want to see this match again. I want to see it go 20 minutes, you know, not for a title. This was so good.
So my theory is that we're going to... obviously, I think next week is the Acclaim's time. You pull the trigger next week. Like, you absolutely do. Like, these guys are...
Yeah.
These guys are right now the hottest act in the company. They're super over. Like, it's just time. But so I think the Acclaimed win next week. And then I think they get a really good first test as champions to kind of help cement them. I think that they defend their titles against FTR.
Ooh, I would like that too. But that's a tough one for me because, you know, I would have to say I can't see FTR losing that match, but.
That's why you do it. You do it because the Acclaimed, while they are the hottest act right now, they're homegrown talent. So you actually really need the Acclaimed to start their reign off, in my opinion, with like an established win. So, or like an established defense. So I would say that the Acclaimed should defend their title successfully against, I mean, they're the number one ranked tag team. And like, if I had to guess, they're probably, Tony Khan's probably sitting on that match. That's why they're ranked number one, if I had to assume.
Yeah. Maybe you just run them through the top five. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
maybe. We shall see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I like... So the Acclaimed come out after the match. And instead of rapping, Max cuts a promo, which I thought the serious nature was a very nice change of pace, actually. As much as we love the raps, I thought that this was really good because it showed you that Max... like. Max can talk beyond doing a rap with rhyming lines. Like,
yeah.
Which I thought was a great thing to show that he could do. And I thought he did a very great job.
I agree. And he still gave the crowd a chance to kind of, you know, get into it. He said the yo, you know, he did that a couple of times. I think he even did it three times, you know, listen. Yeah. And then he cut his promo. So the crowd still got to get in there with him, be like, yo, yo, you know what I mean? So. That was great. I thought this was fantastic work by Max Caster here tonight. I can't wait to see this rematch. He told Swerve, if you ever interrupt my rap again, I'm going to beat your ass. You know, that was great. That was one of my favorite things of the night.
Jeff, I hope you realize that we could potentially be on the road to an all-timer night for me next week. If you tell me that the Acclaimed win the tag team championships, Orange Cassidy wins the All-Atlantic Championship, and Bryan Danielson wins the fucking World Championship, that's it. Like, all right, well, that's Rome's night. That's my night right there. That's
And you know what the best part of it is we get to be at the Dynamite the following week for everyone's celebration night.
The
Acclaimed having a celebration if they win is going to be the best thing ever. A celebration in Philly? Oh.
Like, yeah, I can't even.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. So speaking of
all Atlantic champions, you know.
Yeah. So we come back from the commercial, and we got Pac in the back with Alex Marvez. And Alex is kind of trying to ask the Lucha Brothers, you know, hey, you know, can I get a comment on this bump in the road? And Pac steps up all pissed off, you know. He was pretty angry about him asking the question about bump in the road. I'm not sure why that bothered him so much, but, you know, Pac started to cut a pretty passionate promo about we're the trios champions, start putting some respect on our names, when out of nowhere, Pac eats an orange punch. Holy shit. So remember when we were having our first conversation about Orange Cassidy and a championship of some sort? And yes, what was the belt that I immediately said that he should have? I said he should have the All-Atlantic Championship. I want Orange Cassidy to win that belt so bad. And one more thing before you get started, because I see you picking up the mic there. I actually put Orange Cassidy here above my shoulder before Dynamite tonight. I had no idea this was going to happen. So...
Let's fucking go.
Hell yeah.
I loved this because it was so different for Orange Cassidy, but in a good way. But at the same time, he still kind of stuck true to the character with a very low energy. So he fucking decks Pac, and like, I don't think I've ever found it so funny for someone to get like just decked.
Oh, he was KO'd too. Eyes open, just staring at the ceiling.
Yeah, he's just like staring up, looking at the lights. He's just gone. And I love Cassidy. Comes over. He like, oh, well, I want to get down low. I have to move your leg. He moves his leg.
Yeah.
He picks up the mic. He's like, double champ, huh? Not for long. See you next week. And then he doesn't throw the mic. He places the mic down gently. And then he gets up and he walks away. I fucking love this man.
It was great.
I just do. I have reasons, but I'm not going to continue to list them. Just know. I fucking love Orange Cassidy.
He's great.
This man is a perfect package, you know, for his size, of course. He is, like, so funny, so entertaining. Like, and, like, yes, he has a very low-energy feel to him, but that's the point of him. Because when he explodes, it's crazy. And I loved him just coming in and just, like... I also loved how they do the orange punch. And, like, instead of, like, Pac turning around and, like, bracing for it... He just takes it by surprise.
Oh, if you blinked, you missed it. You know what I mean? It came out of nowhere and it was like, boom, you know? So
I loved it. I'm torn because part of me thinks that like they established that Ethan Page wants to win the All Atlantic Championship and they're going to be in Canada second week in October. So it feels like to me that could be them setting up for that. But like, I don't know if you want to play hot potato and like have Cassidy beat Pac just to drop the belt like 2-3 weeks later. But like, man, I really want Orange Cassidy to win this match on Wednesday. Trav Rock, I 100 million fucking percent agree. Orange Cassidy should be heavyweight champion at some point. And I don't, here's the thing, Jeff, and here's what I would do, right? Cause I do understand your critique of him. Here's what I would do. I would have Orange Cassidy, right? Do a storyline with whoever the champion is, preferably a heel champion, obviously, and just have it be like, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. And just that's the storyline. And then you have him defend the championship, right? And you have this big heartfelt emotional match where Cassidy's the underdog and he comes up and he wins the championship, right? He beats whoever it is for the World Heavyweight Championship. And then like a week later, he can lose it. Like, I don't even need it to be a long title reign. I just need it for the sake of the fact that he fucking deserves it. Like, just let the man win it, and then like whatever happens happens. Like, if he could drop it a week later, like obviously I would want him to have a legit title reign, but give the man his one night where he just like overcomes the odds and like just have him do it.
And I'm willing to concede to you now that I would actually be okay with something exactly like what you described. And I've actually thought about how to lead up to it. So we could do this where he somehow gets the chance for this title shot, right? And whoever the champ is like, who am I facing? Oh, I don't even need to get ready for this guy. And like, they could have cameras follow the champ and find him at like McDonald's and be like, yo, champ, aren't you like trying to get ready for your championship match? And he could be like, who, against that clown? You know what I mean? Like, he could totally just take him lightly, like tremendously just overlook him. And then somehow in the match get absolutely surprised. And like you said, he could lose it a week or two later when some, you know, a monster could show up, you know, Bray Wyatt could show up and just smash him and take it. You know what I mean? That would be absolutely fine for me. Perfectly fine.
Yeah. Meduja, to answer your question, Orange Cassidy is from wherever.
Wherever. Weighing whatever.
Yeah. Freshly squeezed.
All right. So I do have to ask, did this feel like a little bit of a Orange Cassidy heel turn to you?
No, not at all.
No? Just him challenging, I guess?
Again, I think that it actually gives me hope that this is the time for Cassidy to win some gold, because it was a very unexpected, but in a good way, thing. Like, I don't think Cassidy was a heel. I think Cassidy was, last week, Pac said, you're a joke, you are not a wrestler, like, you are nothing, and I refuse to take you seriously.
Yeah.
Kind of what you said. So I think that the best way to respond to that is for Orange Cassidy to knock him the fuck out.
Yeah, you know, when you ring someone's bell like that, it kind of forces them to take notice, so.
Yeah. I would also like to point out that in their first match, which was one of my favorite early AEW matches, Pac did beat Orange Cassidy, so hopefully maybe we can get that win back here.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next up was a quick promo with Toni Storm and Athena backstage. And dude, I gotta say, this was one of the first times that a promo has swerved the crap out of me. Like, the way that Toni Storm was so adamant about, like, Britt, you and Serena Deeb are not gonna have fun tonight. I was like, oh yeah, Toni Storm and Athena are kicking these girls' asses tonight. But dude, that is not what happened, you know, and that promo really got me thinking that's what was about to happen. And I'll admit it, man, I was absolutely shocked to see Toni Storm and Athena lose this match here tonight. Great match, though. Absolutely great match. Serena Deeb and Britt Baker versus Toni Storm and Athena. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a great match. Really fun tag match here. My favorite spot, and it's not like a crazy spot, or I mean, maybe it kind of is, but for some reason, I was so extremely impressed by Athena fucking dead arm, like one hand lifting Serena Deeb up.
Yeah.
I thought that was wild. I was like Serena Deeb is not a big gal by any stretch of the imagination. She is a very slim, very fit, you know, whatever she weighs. But like, still, like Athena just like, dead hands her,
just
like not even grabbing her straight arm. Up. I think Athena just lifts her hand up.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's just impressive. Like I like that's fucking wild.
Yelled. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, but so yeah, this is a great match. A lot of fun. Deeb and Britt end up cheating using a steel chair and a distraction from Rebel to roll up Toni for the win.
Yeah, I was I actually really liked the finish here. Britt basically put the steel chair in the corner. Rebel caused the distraction elsewhere, and they smashed Toni Storm's head into the chair. I loved the aftermatch here, too, where they started, you know, the beatdown. And Britt was about to take down Athena with the steel chair, and Jamie Hayter shows up. She takes the steel chair from Britt, but she winds up using it on Toni Storm. There's obviously still some beef with Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker, but they didn't get into a fight like I was anticipating here. Jamie made it obvious she still has a problem.
Yet. Yeah, they're teasing that collision. It's not happening yet, but it's coming.
Oh, it's coming. I can't wait. It's gonna be great. All right. Next up, we had a promo backstage with Smart Mark Sterling, Toni Nese, and Josh Woods. We got Josh Woods versus Samoa Joe for the Ring of Honor TV title coming up, right? That's what this wound up coming out.
Yeah, that was what it was hyping up. Man, I really like this pairing, Woods, Nese, and Sterling.
Yeah,
I think it's a great. It just works. It works really well. Tony Khan, if like you can say whatever you want about him, but if there's one thing that he just always seems to get right, it's like pairing guys together to make tag teams and factions. Like, yeah. like for example, the Firm, right? On paper, I don't think anyone thinks or would have thought that the Firm would work on paper. Like, I really don't. Like, it's a very weird combination with Lee Moriarty and Ethan Page and the Gun Club and, like, Morrissey. Like, it's a very weird combo of guys. But, like, it just fucking works.
Yeah.
And then, like, keep in mind, other tag teams that Tony Khan has put together, Swerve and Our Glory, The Acclaimed, The Varsity Blondes. He just keeps putting these teams together, and they just keep being great. So, like, him just putting Woods, Nice, and Sterling together, it's just such a slam dunk. It just works. I like it a lot.
It's funny, because they actually look like three dudes who would, like, actually hang out together, you know what I mean? So you're hitting the nail right on the head with that one. All right, next up was the main event, Chris Jericho versus Bryan Danielson. And, man, you know, there was not a lot of matches tonight, but everything flowed so smoothly all the way to this point that, you know, this match didn't start till 9:39. So we had a good 21 minutes of Danielson versus Jericho here. And Danielson's still coming out of that heel tunnel. This is one of the first times I really paid attention to that, because you guys made a point to show it last time. You know, what do you make of Danielson coming out of the heel tunnel? Do you just think it's something he does, or do you think we're getting to something eventually?
I just think it's something he does. He's not a heel. Like, watch this match and tell me he's a heel. Watch, like, his work and tell me he's a heel.
No, he's not. I agree.
Jeff, I forgot to plug my laptop in. Take over for a second.
Yeah, you're absolutely fine. I'm going to go ahead and answer a quick question from Miyaja here. Miyaja says, kind of off topic, but I just saw some news that TNT and TBS want more wrestling. So maybe the Ring of Honor TV deal is coming. Whoa, that would be absolutely awesome. If we could do that and get another hour for Rampage as well, like Trav Rock says, that's what I would like. But dude, if we could get Ring of Honor as well, oh man, I'm totally in, 100% on that one.
So yeah, that was actually one of the post show stories I kind of had for us. There's a report that came out from a higher up at WBD. They want to do more content that really just fits with what AEW is. They want to do less. They want to spend less money on bringing in A-listers from Hollywood. They want to have sports, both scripted and unscripted, and they've also referred to AEW as quote unquote a major draw. So they want more content like that. One would have to assume that means more wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. So real quick, let's talk about that. So more wrestling, immediately the first thing that pops into my head is another hour for Rampage and Make It Live. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like I said a while back, I think what we can do is we can do Ring of Honor as the pre-show taping to one of these shows. You know what I mean? Like they do Dark before Dynamite and then Rampage is after. So if we have Rampage as 2 hours and its own live show, we do the Ring of Honor 1 hour taping before Rampage. And I think that would be perfect, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you have, like you said, I think you do Dynamite, and when you do Dynamite on Wednesdays, you tape Elevation. Yep. When you do Rampage on Fridays, you tape Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And then you keep doing Dark out of Orlando. And also when they do go home shows for pay-per-views or Battle of the Belts extra stuff. That's what I think they should do, and I would love to see it. I think that would be great. I would have, you know, Dynamite on Wednesdays, 2 hours, Rampage, 2 hours on Fridays. Ring of Honor, I would put that. I feel like the go-to is Mondays, just because that way you're not doing any, like, wrestling back-to-back nights any week.
Yeah.
I think, apart from pay-per-views, of course. I think you're kind of setting Ring of Honor up for failure if you're putting it against Monday Night Raw. But,
oh, yeah.
Well, maybe if you do it at 7 o'clock, you know? Maybe it comes on at, like, 7.
Well, I would throw it on, like, Thursday put it up against Impact. Well, no, I guess Impact wouldn't be too happy about that. Maybe Tuesday.
Yeah.
Throw it on Tuesday up against NXT. You know, people who aren't watching NXT, they're not watching NXT. You know what I mean? You either are or you aren't at this point.
Yeah, my only argument for why that's not a good idea is because they have to do because then you're doing back-to-back nights, and I don't know if that can be a bit much. But then again, they're already doing Dark and Elevation on Mondays and Tuesdays. So maybe not. Maybe they do just go on Thursdays because that's the only other day where there's no AEW programming.
Yeah, I mean, if they did, I think Ring of Honor would finally be the nail in the coffin for Impact there. So I don't know. If they have a good relationship, I doubt they would go Thursday now that I think about it. But we'll see.
Again, I could argue if you really wanted to, just go on at 7.
True. Yeah, true, true. Definitely.
And that could go for Mondays too. Like, really, I mean, like, go on at 7. Like, have it so Ring of Honor goes on, and like Thursday could be destination for non like AEW/WWE wrestling, because it's like on Thursdays you can get at 7 o'clock you get Ring of Honor, at 8 o'clock, 8 to 10 you get Impact, and then like I know 10 to 11 I think New Japan's on Access after Impact. So like there you go. You get Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan on a Thursday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm okay with that. All right, so back to this Chris Jericho versus Bryan Danielson match, man. I love how they pointed out to us that Danielson has never beaten Chris Jericho. I was not aware of that until they made a point to say it before the match here. So it really made this an interesting match for me. Daniel Garcia was backstage watching the match like a true sports entertainer. He was watching over the shoulder, you know, the TV with his whole body turned facing the camera. It was hilarious. What character did you see Jericho as in this one? This was kind of just Chris Jericho, right? Or did you see Y2J or anything like that? Because the crowd was chanting Y2J.
Well, so Jericho doesn't like Y2J anymore. He said it in the past year or so that's a past thing. Jericho is one of those guys, he likes to keep innovating.
Yeah.
And keep moving on to the next thing. It's why he creates all these names. Like, he kind of just keeps trying to do the next thing. Like, he was Le Champion, and then, you know, before that it was the Painmaker, and then since then, like, the Wizard thing, and now he's trying to do this B-E-S-C-E. What is it? #B#C.
B-W, it's like Best Wrestler Ever.
It's B-W-E-B-C. Thank you. Yeah. It's B-W-E-B-C, and he has a t-shirt now where it says it on the bottom, like Chris Jericho, the Lionheart, B-W-E-B-C. But no, I think this was just Jericho. This was just Chris Jericho. And this match was just two goats working. This was a physical Absolutely. Match. A really good match. The ending had my heart pounding through my chest, which was great. Oh, or not great.
Dude.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, me too, man. When he hit the ground and grabbed his ankle there, I was freaking out for a second. But, you know, they had the doctor come over. They had Aubrey come over. Danielson immediately starts taking his shoe off, and I was like, oh, God. But the moment I saw Jericho walk over, I was like, oh, thank God, he's fine. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So the timeline there where Jericho suplexes him over and Danielson lands weird, I'm like, that's not good. That doesn't look good. And then, of course, Aubrey waves Doc Samson over. So then I'm like, shoot. Okay. Well, there's still a chance this is a work. And then Danielson, they start taking off his boot. And I'm like, fuck. No, we can't keep having this happen. Like, I was very frustrated at first. And then Jericho is like, well, I'm just going to beat the shit out of him. And he starts working the leg. And I was like, thank the Lord. My heart could not take that. If you had told me Danielson had, like, hurt himself and he's out, I'm just like, nah.
He might be one of the best sellers on the planet. He can sell to the point where I have no idea if it's real or not. Like, it's crazy.
He's the greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
When it comes to in the ring work, like, there's no one better than Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
But so yeah, this is a masterfully done spot here, which really led to it elevated the match, and it made the match so much more high stakes, it felt like.
Yeah.
You're just saying he sold that so well that he also thought it was real.
Yeah. Jericho pulling the figure four on the ring post, I am a huge fan of that move. I'm glad they don't use it very often, and when it's done, it's done. It looks great. That was the perfect time to pull that move out. It was great.
Yeah. But yeah, the last quarter of this match was fucking wild. Bryan Danielson ends up winning with the LaBelle lock. And next week, the main event of Grand Slam for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship will be Jon Moxley versus Bryan Danielson. Let's fucking go. I'm so excited for this. They end with a stare down, and yeah, they shake.
Let's
they shake
fucking
hands.
Go.
Yeah, I can't wait. I know we kind of called this as soon as the tournament started. I know this is what we wanted. I hope this is what everybody else wanted as well. Danielson versus Mox is going to be absolute fucking fire. I expect both of them to be bloody at the end of the match like they were in the first one. I hope they go 30 minutes minimum.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for this match. the recent events, you know, they've sucked, but I want Bryan Danielson to win this world championship
absolutely.
So badly.
Absolutely.
Now, there is a little bit of history repeating itself here. And have you noticed that?
In what way? Please elaborate.
So, let's go back to what really was the last time I was a happy WWE fan. Shall we?
Right.
Let us go back to the year 2013. Things were a lot different back then. Jeff, you were like 60. And, like, so the Royal Rumble happens. CM Punk gets eliminated. CM Punk, that was his last night in WWE. Right? So the plan was for CM Punk at WrestleMania 30 to face Triple H, and for Bryan Danielson, then at the time Daniel Bryan, to face Sheamus in a rematch of the previous year's WrestleMania. Or maybe it was two WrestleManias prior. I think it was okay. Two WrestleManias prior. CM Punk walks out. Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, replaces CM Punk and takes his spot to face Triple H. Now also he becomes so over, the fans basically say, no, this is our guy. And Vince McMahon, his hands are tied, and, you know, Bryan Danielson goes on to have what is probably one of my last favorite WrestleMania moments, if not my favorite WrestleMania moment, is, you know, Danielson beating Triple H in the first 45 minutes of the show and then going into the main event. But so the point I'm getting at is, isn't it fucking wild that we have CM Punk being taken out of the equation and his replacement is Bryan Danielson?
That is actually a really good point that you make there. I did not catch that. That's actually really cool, which makes me think even more that this could be planned, because, man, are they getting extremely detailed with this. Like, too many things, man. Too many things.
I know. It's who knows? But it's a fucking wild coincidence. And again, you know, George Lucas once said, great storytelling rhymes. Just want everyone to remember that.
Yeah, it's wild, man. Wow.
But I'm so excited for Bryan Danielson. Like, this is his time. Like, I know that for him, the world title isn't what's important. He did an interview with Sports Illustrated, and, like, for him, like, he said it, like, he's like, for me, it's not about winning the title. Like, it's about being in the championship atmosphere, being in those matches. The adrenaline of being in those moments is why he loves it. You know, he's like, it's not about the gold belt. It's not about being a leader in the locker room. You don't need a gold belt to be a leader in the locker room, which was also fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But so I'm really excited for this. I think he should beat Mox. And then I think he'll hold it till Full Gear in November, where I would imagine MJF beats him. Now, here's the thing that worries me. Not really worries me, but it seems like they're setting up for MJF versus Moxley. It seems very strongly that that's the direction they're going.
Yes.
I wonder if that's a sign of Moxley winning, or if it's they're not going to put MJF right into the title picture right away.
That's what I'm thinking. They're not going to put him into it right away. That kind of is how it feels to me. Because he can do it anytime he wants. He's going to pick his moment, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully. I hope Danielson gets a good reign. He deserves it. Especially if this is probably his only one he's going to get in AEW. Because, again, he just likes to work. So I don't know if they would give it to him again just because of that. But at the same time, it's Brian fucking Danielson. He should win it more than
absolutely.
Once.
Absolutely. I say give him a good reign of a couple months at the least. Have him put some respect on the belt. You know what I mean? Have him come out and challenge anybody. Get your ass out here. I don't care who it is. You know, open championship type. You know, open match type thing, open challenge type thing. I'm totally in for a Danielson run here of just running through some people. I love it.
Yeah. So this was an excellent Dynamite that sets up for a really excellent Grand Slam that we're going to get next week. And, you know, and then we'll be going to Dynamite in Philly the following week.
Absolutely. I can't wait, man. I cannot wait. We kind of just started a quick little question line I wanted to run through here. So you said that Bryan Danielson, Triple H, WrestleMania moment, you know, the whole show was one of your favorites. Can you think of one that you might've liked better, or is that going to be your favorite there?
I think there are moments that I like a lot, obviously, in WrestleMania history, but I do think that Daniel Bryan in WrestleMania 30 is a culmination of like, it's my favorite WrestleMania moment. I also think it's kind of the moment where, like, as a wrestling fan, I don't want to put this, like, I think I like moved to the next, like, not level, but it's just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the Rome of today, like that wrestling, that love of wrestling was really like, fucking ignited there.
Yeah.
Like, I loved wrestling beforehand. Don't get me wrong. I've been to shows, watched pay-per-views, bought t-shirts, bought video games. Like, I was a fan beforehand. But, like, that WrestleMania 30, like, moment with Bryan Danielson is just one of the most genuine, real fucking moments in wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. And, like, it's funny because I was talking to Juan in the Discord a few days ago, talking about five-star WWE matches. And, like, that's a five-star match. Daniel Bryan versus Triple H at WrestleMania 30. That's a five-star match. They went 45 minutes. They played with our emotions. They told a fucking masterful story.
Uh-huh.
Which, again, like, I am a big fan of Triple H's in-ring work because he was called the Game. He was very good at storytelling in his matches. I think that moment's my favorite WrestleMania moment of all time.
So for me, it's tough to choose between my moments, because I have one moment that's like a memory that I have of like me and my dad watching WrestleMania together. And, you know, that's the Stone Cold versus Shawn Michaels, Mike Tyson, you know, jumping in the ring, 1, 2, 3. But for me alone, just watching wrestling and just wrestling in general moment, that was one of the greatest moments I've ever seen in wrestling history, with the whole culmination of him beating Triple H and then coming in and tapping out Batista to win that title, and the confetti dropping and just seeing him hold up both belts, man. Like, that was unreal for me. That, I think you hit it on the head. Like, that was what solidified me as like a wrestling fan at the moment. You know what I mean? I was just like, wow, this was fucking incredible.
It's like, and it's really funny because if you look back on WrestleMania 30, rest of the show, dog shit.
Yeah. And now, can anybody confirm this for me? Was this the same weekend that NXT did their takeover where Bayley versus Sasha Banks happened? Because that is my favorite women's match of all time. And if those two matches happened on like consecutive days, that would be a very good weekend for the E there.
Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, it's a moment in time as a wrestling fandom. And it's one of those moments that, like, if you were making, like, it sounds kind of like dramatic, if you were making like a documentary of AEW and it wasn't like an AEW made documentary, like, moments that you would include leading up to it are like CM Punk's pipe bomb, CM Punk walking out, and Daniel Bryan winning the world title at WrestleMania 30 in like a moment in time where the establishment tried to tell the fans what they wanted. They were like, we have this guy, Randy Orton and Batista. This is going to be our main event. And then, like, we're going to have this Roman Reigns guy come out. And it just, like, just rejection of the fan base. The fan base saying, no, this is our guy. We understand that those are your guys.
Yep.
This is our guy. You don't, you may not understand him. You don't need to fucking understand him. He's an excellent wrestler with an excellent gimmick who just, you know, we fucking love this guy and you're going to push him. You don't have a choice in that. Yep. We are going to chant his name at every single fucking show that you do. We are going to hijack your shows. We are not going to cheer for who you want us to cheer. We are going to do what we want to fucking do. And I think that that's such an important moment in like the history of wrestling, because it is that paradigm shift where like beforehand, like after WCW closed, like, yeah, there were other options, but WWE was the only place. And it was either like, it was like the infamous Triple H promo said in, I think it was 2016. It's like, hey, if you don't like it, don't watch. It's like, okay. Like, that's fine. If that, like, all right, well, sure, I won't then. But yeah, that's, it's just, it's a moment in time in my wrestling fandom, at least, that just, yeah, beautiful moment. Again, dog shit show, though. Like, Bray Wyatt lost to John Cena on that show. Yeah. I believe Taker lost to Lesnar. Like, all around, awful show. But man,
that was the Taker-Lesnar, wasn't it? Oof.
That was WrestleMania 30, yes. That was, again, like, it's so, like, that night is so monumental to me being a wrestling fan, the fan that I am today, because not only did they show me the highs that pro wrestling could fucking achieve, but it also showed me the lows that that product was okay with. And it's just,
yeah.
Like, yeah, you watch WrestleMania 30, you'll find out why I don't like fucking WWE anymore.
All right, so what do we got for this Friday on Rampage? I know they announced like four matches.
Okay. Well, before we do that, I just wanted to kind of do a quick little story. Quick little news story. Pat Buck is off of suspension and is backstage at AEW. Other names that were trying to break up the fight that were previously suspended. Brian Alvarez of The Observer reported that those guys, like Christopher Daniels and Brandon Cutler, they are also no longer suspended. They may report to work. Daniels and Nakazawa are scheduled to be in Japan with Kenny. We actually know that Kenny is in Japan. He took a picture with Kota Ibushi today, met up with his buddy. He also had his face scanned by Sega for the new Yakuza game. He's going to be in that game, which is fucking dope. And you would have to assume he's going to be there at Tokyo Game Show for AEW. So yeah, I think that that's kind of a sign of where we're heading. I would like to hope that the third party investigation will be over soon. I'm hopeful that as time goes on, I'm kind of hopeful that nobody's going to get fired here. I think CM Punk is going to sit home for 9 months and think about what he did. I don't think Tony Khan's going to pay him. I think the Elite will be back, hopefully within weeks. That's just my vibe of it. I mean, obviously, I have no source. I could be 100% fucking wrong. But the fact that we're slowly getting to the bottom of this, where like, okay, Pat Buck can come back to work. The guys that, you know, were breaking up the fight can come back to work. I would like to hope that we're kind of getting to a point where we can put this behind us. And no matter where, no matter what they're doing, like whether they're firing someone or whatever it is, I just want it to be in the rear view. So let's hopefully we can get to that soon.
Kevin Nash said Punk threw the first punch. I think that's the general consensus now, is he was very grumpy. He had just learned he had an injury. He just got treated by medical. Yeah, I think we all kind of know what happened now.
Yeah. Which, like, I'm still not defending Punk. Like, again, my stance is my stance. I still stand by my stance. But there is some sympathy there. Like, if the guy just learned that he's going to be out for, like, another 9 months.
Yep.
Like, I can understand it. I can sympathize. Again, I don't think there's any excuse for, like, you can't act that way no matter what. You're expected to be a locker room leader. Not only are you the world champion, but you are CM Punk. You are this guy who is a building block of the company, is a veteran that a lot of people look up to, is one of the top draws. Like, you got, like, you just can't act that way. So
yeah, you can't do that.
You know, we'll see what happens. But well, so I just wanted to kind of bring up that story that the people are starting to get back to work a little bit on.
Sometimes these young kids don't know who they're messing with, man. CM Punk's from the mean streets of Chicago. come walking up to someone like that talking some shit, you know, probably gonna get punched in the mouth.
Well, then maybe you probably shouldn't say, like, oh, hey, make sure you fucking come and talk to me.
Well, he did say, let's fucking go. Like, if you come talk to me, we're probably gonna fight, you know, but not condoning what he did at all. That. Not at all.
Well, that's why they brought the head of legal with them, because they didn't want to fight.
They knew that shit was gonna happen. So, here, let's go down this. Let's do a quick go down this little rabbit hole here. I see some people saying that what if they baited him into this entire thing knowing that he would react this way?
First of all, we're not sponsored. I just really fucking love Liquid Death.
Oh, yeah, me too.
First of all, that's ridiculous. I don't buy that for one second. The people saying that are the people that just don't like the Young Bucks. If you don't like the Young Bucks, just say you don't like the Young Bucks.
Well, no, I mean, let's say you're a Young Bucks fan and you don't like CM Punk. I actually think this would be genius on their part, and I wouldn't, like, I would be like, holy shit, that was freaking crazy. So, like, let's say that they knew he would react like this. They, you know, just for devil's advocate, they did put out a couple of rumors, you know what I'm saying, about the whole Colt Cabana thing, waiting for him to blow up and say something. They knew that it was going to happen. They walked back there and they made sure to bring the legal lady with them. And sure enough, one of them gets punched in the face, you know, and problem solved. Mr. CM Punk gone, you know?
It doesn't make sense to me.
No,
like,
I agree.
I think those are it's the reason why I've been off of the internet. It's like, that story just sounds ridiculous. Like, I just don't buy it. Like, I've seen the Young Bucks and I've seen, you know, between the BTE stuff and just, like, the way they connect with fans, like, they don't seem like malicious dudes at all. Like, none of them do. They're just a bunch of dorks.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a dork, so I can tell when I see a fucking dork.
I mean, though, that could be the storyline that they use. If everybody starts deciding to be adults about this and they turn this into a story and try to make some money off of it, that could be the storyline that they go with, that the Bucks were the masterminds, or Kenny was a mastermind and leaked it to the dirt sheets and all that stuff. They could make all of that true, or, you know, true to the story. I think that would actually be pretty nice.
Yeah. And if that's the plan, that's great.
Yeah.
But again, I think at the end of the day, I think the Elite went into that locker room with the head of legal because they knew that they were walking into a volatile situation.
Yeah.
And they wanted to prevent that. I really do think that. At the end of the day, AEW is very important to the Bucks and to Kenny. They are founding members. It was their baby. Even when they're out of the ring, like, I feel like they're going to be a part of this company for a long, 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 long time. I just don't see them, knowing full well that this is going to be a huge thing, knowing full well you've had meetings the past week about other people having issues, I just don't see Kenny and Nick and Matt just sitting in the locker room being like, let's go fucking start some shit and really hurt this company.
No, no.
I just don't see it. It doesn't make sense. Like,
no.
Because at the end of the day, like, if you went in there to start shit, like, that's hurting your company. Like, it doesn't matter if you're getting your way and Punk gets fired or not. Like, you know, assuming that, you know, we're going down the possibility that they did want to get him fired. Why would they do that? Like, it doesn't make sense that you would hurt the company in that way. If anything, if they wanted Punk gone, they would have had a meeting with him and Tony and a lot more civilized, which it seems like they tried to do. Tony was speaking to the media, doing the media scrum, and they were like, we need to talk this out because you can't say stuff like that. It's not true, first of all.
Yeah.
Like, we need to discuss this like adults, like we've been preaching to the younger talent for a few weeks now. So they went and they got the next best person, which is the head of legal, you know, next best after Tony, and they brought her with them. And then I think Punk was emotional. I think Punk was emotional leading into it as well. And I mean,
I'm going to tell you, I would be surprised if Punk had any clue who that lady was.
I don't know.
Looked at her and was like, who the fuck is this lady?
There's no way he doesn't know who the head of fucking legal is. We don't know who she is because we don't work there. She's oversees a bunch of shit. She's the head of legal.
Yeah, but I bet he's met her once. Maybe on the first visit to the office, he met her. Like, she's not, maybe she's there every week with every show, but I would think somebody like her sits in an office somewhere, you know?
I think she's there regularly. She's
all right, if that's the case, he probably does know her. But I was thinking he was probably like, who the hell is she? Like, because that would be really dumb to do that. Right,
a live event where a lot of things can go wrong. Absolutely, you want your head of legal there at all times.
I can see that. I can see that.
Especially because AEW doesn't have a crazy schedule. Like, for her, it's just like, okay, you're on the road like two nights a week. Except for pay-per-view weeks, you do a little bit of extra work. But like, No, if you're head of legal, like, you show up in town on Tuesday with the rest of the talent, you're there for Wednesday, you fly out Thursday. It's a 3-day work week for you. You get paid millions of dollars. It's great. Yeah,
that's true. I could see that.
Again, I don't know, but like, she seems involved. Like, she's like the only person other than Tony and his dad who are on the executive level who get like the happy birthday thing from AEW. Like, yeah. She's a main thing there. So I don't really buy that.
I'm pretty sure they put her as second in command. She's right behind Tony.
Exactly. Yeah. If something were to happen to Tony, she would be the head of AEW.
I was just thinking, like, in the heat of the moment, the Bucks coming in and, you know, her being there with them, I was just thinking maybe he was like, who the hell is she? You know, and because you would think that that would really cause you to not want to do something like that with her in the room, you know? So we'll see.
I mean, I guess, unless it's a work.
Exactly. We'll see what happens. All right. So go ahead. What do we got going on for this Friday on Rampage?
All right, so this Friday on Rampage, we have...
This is not a live Rampage, right?
What?
This is not a live Rampage, right?
No, this is not a live Rampage. So we have the Ring of Honor World Television Championship, Samoa Joe versus Josh Woods. We have Ethan Page versus Danhausen. Penelope Ford versus Willow Nightingale.
Willow!
Matt Hardy versus Darby Allin. And then next week we have AEW Grand Slam, which is a 2-hour Dynamite and a 2-hour Rampage. Rampage will not be live. It will be taped on Wednesday night.
Okay.
So we have for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship, we have Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley. We have the AEW World Tag Team Championship, Swerve in Our Glory versus The Acclaimed. We have a 4-way dance for the interim women's world championship announced. Toni Storm versus Serena Deeb versus Athena versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Meduja, have a great night, man. Thanks for hanging out with us. We have the All Atlantic Championship match, Pac versus Orange Cassidy. And then on Friday, we only have one match announced so far. It is Action Bronson and Hook versus Daddy Magic Matt Menard and Cool Hand Angelo Parker.
That's going to be a great Rampage, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, we only have one match announced for it right now. We'll see what happens this week. And then, what is that, four? We have 4 matches announced for Dynamite. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be... I can't wait for the Grand Slam there. Grand Slam's going to be freaking awesome. I can't wait for Danielson versus Mox.
Yeah. Ooh, that's going to be a really good show. I'm really excited.
What's that?
I said, yeah, I'm really excited for the show. I'm really excited for Grand Slam.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I guess we'll all do a game of the 20 questions here.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Yep. Yeah, let's do a game here. Go ahead and choose. I have moved away from your screen. I cannot see. Okay. Oh, man. It's a beautiful night up here on the top of the Bellagio Hotel and Casino. Please hit that like and subscribe button if you guys have not already. I think we're at 9 likes. We love to hit 10 every night here. Please try to get us to 10 if you have not hit that like button already. And right now, Rome is choosing a video game from his extensive library. I'm going to play 20 questions trying to figure out what game he has chosen.
Go for it.
All right. Let's go ahead and get started here with question numero uno. Is this a shooter of any kind?
Nope.
No shooter. All right. Is this a racing game of any kind?
Nope.
All right. Is this a sports game of any kind?
Nope.
All right. Is this a RPG of any kind?
No.
Oh, man. All right. Let's try your favorite genre of, is this an action adventure game?
I would say no.
Okay. It's interesting. What What genre are we missing here? All right, let's see. Is this set in the Nintendo world?
No.
No. All right. Is this game meant to be realistic?
No.
No, okay. Is this game set in outer space or on another planet away from Earth?
Yes.
Okay. We're looking at other planets or outer space. Ooh. Let's try to... Is this game set in the Star Wars universe?
It is.
Oh, I got lucky on that one.
Look
all
at
right.
that. Look at you go.
Okay, let's see if I can
You've
do this.
You never asked
with...
that question either. Like, that's so funny.
Yeah, I've never asked that before, actually. I don't know why it just popped into my head. That was pretty cool. All right, so let's try to narrow down a system. So, was this on the Nintendo 64?
No.
No, okay. Ooh, this is going to be tough. Is this game on multiple systems?
Yes.
Okay. Let's eliminate some of the... Is this game in the Lego universe?
No.
No, okay, so it's none of the Lego Star Wars. Oh, let's go, Juhas. I was right there with you. okay, none of the Lego ones. So... Oh, man, what do we have recently? Yeah, would this be would this be on one of the newer gen consoles, like PS4 or higher?
Well, number one, no. Number two, when you say new gen, I'm going to assume you're saying PS5, Series X.
Well, that's why I specify. I still consider it back to PS4 because games are still coming out on that system with the other systems.
We're almost at the point where they're not, but no. Yeah, the answer to your question is no. They are not on the PS4 or later.
Jedi Fallen Order. Okay. See here. Alright. So looks like we're looking at after the it wasn't the 64, but it could still be like Super Nintendo. Let's see. How many questions I got left?
I have 8 left.
8 left. Okay, so let's try one of them here. Is this on a console that is pre-Nintendo 64?
No.
No, okay. So we're post-64, we're pre-PS4. I think that's a good one. It's Force Unleashed 2, okay. Yeah, I think you're down the right... That's where I was heading. I'm trying to figure out what kind of questions to ask to get to the Force Unleashed. But wouldn't that be an RPG, really? Or an action-adventure? Oh, man. Does it involve the apprentice? That's a good question. That is my next question. Does it involve the apprentice?
Okay. Sorry, I thought you were still mulling over your options. Yes, it does involve an apprentice.
Okay. I did ask if it was any racing, so there's no racing, but it does involve the apprentice. So I'm thinking Force Unleashed. But is it Force Unleashed 2?
I said an apprentice.
Yeah, he said an apprentice. I did say, does it have the apprentice?
Are you asking a specific question?
Yeah, that was what I was asking. Does it involve the apprentice?
Who's the apprentice? I don't know who you're talking about, because that would not be that character's actual name if it is who I think you're referring to. That character has a name.
So I can't really answer that question.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Would the apprentice's name be Starkiller?
Is that a question?
Yes.
Yes, it would be.
All right, well, here I am being handed another victory.
It's always somebody else.
Always someone.
Never you.
I did hit the universe, though. I'm pretty proud of that, actually. I don't know where that came from in my mind. All right, so would this be one of the Force Unleashed games?
It would be.
What's that?
It would be, yes.
All right, would this be the second of the Force Unleashed games?
No, it is not.
No, okay. That'd be funny if there's like five of them and for some reason that number two is not the second one. Okay. How many Force Unleashed games are there?
I don't know. Well, I do know, but I can't tell you.
All right. Well, yeah, let's say, was it the first of the Force Unleashed?
It was.
All right. So we will go with Star Wars, The Force Unleashed. Final answer.
Correct.
Right on. Good job, Juhas. I take partial credit of figuring out the universe this time.
Yeah, I'll give you like a half point.
That's really weird that it just like randomly like smacked me in the head. It was like Star Wars. And I was like, huh, let's see about this universe. Because I've never asked about that before.
I realized that the camera did not catch it because of the fucking light ring. Hopefully that's a little bit
angle better. It a little to your left. There you go. You always got to do an angle away from the light. Star Wars Force Unleashed.
But all right.
All right, that was a good one. I think we'll call it at one for tonight. I'm not feeling it too much here.
I got you.
I actually needed a Red Bull tonight to get through the night. Today was rough at work, man. They threw like 1,000 Amazon vehicles at me. It was crazy.
Damn, really? That sucks.
Yeah. But thank you guys very much for joining us in the chat tonight, especially Miyaja, Juhas, and Travrock. Thank you guys very much. Rome, you want to go ahead and close us out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been episode 73 of the Broken Tables podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a like or subscribe, depending on where you find us, or a follow. Thank you to everyone who was hanging out with us live here on youtube.com/thebrokentablespodcast. Thank you to everyone who's not listening live, everyone listening, you know, in the future, aka the coach. Thank you to everyone who's also listening to us not on YouTube. That includes Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and Anchor. You can follow us on Twitter at The Broken Table Show or on Facebook and Instagram at The Broken Tables Podcast. We go live on YouTube following every single AEW Dynamite, Rampage, and even pay-per-views. Grand Slam is next week. Get hype. See everybody on Friday. Have a great Thursday.
Absolutely. Thank you guys very much again for joining us tonight. If you haven't, please hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell for your notifications. Go out to your local Target and pick up some lovely Liquid Death. It's delicious. We are not sponsored, by the way.
No, really not. Not a penny.
All right, so we definitely appreciate you guys joining. Let's see, did anybody get us to 10? Somebody hit that like button, get us to 10, please. You guys have a great night. And until next time, Top Guys out.